The Easy Way to Stop Smoking by Alan Carr. So you're a smoker. Well, so was I for 25 years. Towards the end, I was smoking 100 a day on a bad day, and never less than 60. Like most of us, I made dozens of attempts to stop. Once I kept it up for 6 months, and I was still climbing the walls, still standing near smokers trying to get a whiff of their tobacco, still travelling in the smoking compartments of trains. Most smokers tell themselves they'll stop once it really starts affecting their health. Rubbish. I got to the stage where I knew it was killing me. I had a permanent headache with the pressure from constant coughing. I could feel a continuous throbbing in the vein that runs down the centre of my forehead. I really believed that there could be an explosion in my head any moment, and I'd die from a brain hemorrhage. It still didn't stop me smoking. It wasn't so much that I enjoyed it. I'd never liked the taste and smell of the things. But cigarettes helped me to relax, so I thought. They gave me courage and confidence. I couldn't imagine an enjoyable life without them. Now, I'm not saying you're as badly hooked as I was. In fact, I've honestly never met anyone as badly hooked as I was. What I am saying is that I understand the problem. And if I could stop, so can you. Because I did stop. And it wasn't hard. It was easy. I actually enjoyed the process. And I've never had a single pang since. Quite the reverse, in fact. I felt then, and I still feel now, that it was the most marvellous thing that had ever happened to me. Like suddenly waking from a nightmare, to be free from the slavery of having to go through life systematically destroying my own body, and having to pay through the nose for the privilege. So I tried to work out what had happened to me, why I'd suddenly found giving up so ridiculously easy. I tried to find out what had suddenly clicked in my mind on that particular day. And the conclusions I came to form the basis of this tape. Also the basis of a new career. I now work full-time helping people give up smoking. My success rate is over 80%. The method involved, based on my own experience, is a method that really does work for anyone. The whole business of smoking is a tug of war of fear. On one side, it's killing me and costing me a fortune. On the other side, how can I enjoy life or cope with life without my little friend? The stupid thing is, both sets of fear are caused by the cigarette. Believe me, there is no such thing as an addictive personality or a confirmed smoker. Once your body stops craving nicotine and you remove the brainwashing that goes with it, you'll have no more need to stick a burning cigarette in your mouth than in your ear. And I don't just mean you'll be richer and healthier. I mean you won't miss them. You'll enjoy social occasions more and be better able to cope with stress situations. Cigarettes don't relax or relieve stress. That panic feeling you get when you're running low on cigarettes, non-smokers don't suffer it. So if you're prepared to give my method a try, let's get started. But first, one word of warning. If you use this method, there are only two possible reasons why it will not work for you. One, if you fail to carry out instructions, and two, if you fail to understand what I'm telling you. First then, failure to carry out the instructions I give you. I'm going to be fairly dogmatic about certain points as we go along. For instance, I'll tell you not to try cutting down on the number of cigarettes you smoke, and not to use substitutes like sweets or chewing gum. The reason I'm dogmatic is that I know my subject. Everything I say has a single purpose, to make it as easy as possible for you to stop smoking. The second possible cause of failure, failure to understand, is just as vital. I want you to think hard about what I tell you. Don't take anything for granted. I won't ask you to do anything on trust. Keep questioning your own views on smoking, what society has taught you about it. Remember, there is no such thing as a confirmed smoker. You're not actually giving up anything at all. Right then, let's start. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Michael.
Hello.
Michael, as you can hear, is a smoker. 20 a day, is it?
That's right.
Oh, is it? In that case, why do you have two packs with you?
Oh, you noticed, did you? Well, I sometimes go over 20 and I hate to run out.
Michael's here to help me, and I'm here to help him, right?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
You don't sound terribly keen, Michael. Don't you feel you should give up? Almost all smokers do.
Well, I like to. I mean, ideally, of course. But the whole idea of what I'll have to go through depresses me. All those weeks of misery.
You've tried to give up before?
Oh, yes, a few times.
How did you go about it?
Well, I thought about it logically. All the reasons there were to stop, you know. The health thing and how much it was costing me and all the rest. So one morning I thought, OK, come on, Mike. What are you, man or mouse? All you need is willpower. Stick it out without a fag long enough, and the desire to smoke is bound to go in the end. Just grit your teeth and do it.
Hmm. How long did you last out?
Made it to 3 days once.
Mm-hmm. Discouraging, but you shouldn't blame yourself. It's a very common experience, because setting about it the way you did actually makes it very difficult to succeed.
Difficult? Well, how come?
Several reasons. First of all, stopping smoking isn't the real problem. Every time you put a cigarette out, you stop smoking. And there are always logical reasons to stop. Everyone knows that. And the reasons stay just as logical the second day, or the third, or the 103rd. The problem is not stopping, it's preventing yourself from starting again. And that has got nothing to do with logic at all. Secondly, all the health scares don't make it easier to stop, they make it harder.
Harder?
Yes. They make you nervous, justifiably. But what do you do when you're nervous?
I have a cigarette.
Exactly. It's a vicious circle. Not logical, but that's what I'm saying. We're not talking about logic at all. All these reasons for stopping, perfectly good ones, unanswerable arguments really, blind us to the truth of the situation. By concentrating on them, we lose sight of the key question.
Which is?
Which is, why do we do it in the first place? Moreover, by steeling ourselves for the ordeal of trying to give up, we merely increase the power of one of the main factors that makes giving up so hard to begin with.
Sorry?
I'm talking about the feeling of sacrifice, the sense of loss, deprivation, the feeling we're going to lose the opportunity to enjoy a pleasure we will never have again.
Oh, I agree with that, all right. When you are trying to give up, life seems to stretch ahead like a desert. You wonder how non-smokers ever manage to get out of bed in the morning.
Right. Now, my method, the easy method of giving up, is basically this. Forget all the reasons why you would like to stop for the moment and face the cigarette problem itself head on. Ask yourself these questions. What is it doing for me? Do I actually enjoy it? Do I really need to go through life paying through the nose just to stick these things in my mouth and suffocate myself?
Well...
No, don't reply just yet. That's what a lot of this tape is going to be about, giving you all the information you need to be able to answer these questions right before you respond. You probably won't believe it at the moment, but the beautiful truth of the matter is that cigarette smoking does absolutely nothing for you at all. There isn't actually anything at all to give up.
Oh, come on, that's overstating it, surely. I mean, what you mean is that the disadvantages of being a smoker outweigh the advantages. Well, OK, I'll accept that. But I mean...
No, that's exactly what I'm not saying. I'm saying there aren't any advantages to smoking. None. Rien. Zero. Niente. None. In fact, most of the so-called advantages are actually disadvantages.
So why do people do it, then?
Why do you do it?
Well,
Before you answer, let's go back a step. Different question. If you could go back to the time before you became hooked, with the knowledge you have now, would you have started smoking?
Well, no. No way.
You've got children?
Yes.
Do you encourage them to smoke?
Oh, good God, no.
Of course not. These are the answers every smoker would give. But isn't it odd? More than that, it's bizarre. Fantastic. Here's something that even now a third of the population do, and it used to be much more than that, and yet every one of them will say they wish they'd never started in the first place. And quite reasonably. After all, the average 20-a-day smoker will spend over £25,000 in his lifetime on cigarettes. And what do we do with this money? It wouldn't be so bad if we just threw it down the drain. But no, we actually use it to congest our lungs systematically with cancerous tars, to progressively clutter up and poison our blood vessels. Each day, we're increasingly starving every muscle and organ of our bodies of oxygen. So each day, we become more lethargic. We sentence ourselves to a lifetime of filth, bad breath, stained teeth, burnt clothes, filthy ashtrays, and the foul smell of stale tobacco. The question isn't just why smokers find it difficult to stop, but why on earth anybody does it in the first place?
Well, yes, okay. I mean, I know all that, but the fact is, it is difficult to stop.
All right. But I repeat, why?
Oh, come on. Cigarettes, well, they're enjoyable, aren't they?
No.
No?
Of course not. They're filthy, disgusting objects. Look, you smoke a particular brand, don't you?
Sure.
Suppose you can't get hold of them. You can only get a brand you find distasteful. But you smoke them anyway, don't you?
Well, yes, I do.
Of course you do. Any smoker would rather smoke old rope than not smoke at all. Enjoyment has nothing to do with it. I enjoy lobster, but I don't feel I have to walk about with 20 of them hanging around my neck. Think of the things in life you really enjoy. You enjoy them while you're doing them, certainly, but you don't sit around feeling deprived when you're not. Believe me, where smoking is concerned, enjoyment is a complete red herring. Perhaps you can explain to me why a habit which kills you and costs you a fortune is so difficult to break. No one forces you to do it. It's not like a twitching eye that you can't control. There's no test or exam to pass. And perhaps you can also tell me why everyone else finds it difficult to break this particular filthy, disgusting habit.
All right then, Clever Clogs, you tell me why.
The answer is simple. The habit as such doesn't even exist. Giving up isn't difficult. It's ridiculously easy. But it's only easy once you understand the real reasons why you're smoking in the first place. When, and only when, you understand that point, you'll stop doing it. Just like that. And within 3 weeks at most, the only mystery left will be why you smoked so long in the first place. The real reason people smoke is a combination of two factors. Number one, nicotine addiction. Number two, brainwashing.
Well, that's all.
That's all. Let's look at them in a lot more detail. Nicotine addiction first. Nicotine is a colourless, oily compound and, as you know, it's the drug which addicts the smoker. It's the fastest addictive drug known to mankind, and it can take just one cigarette to get hooked. Every puff on a cigarette delivers a small dose of nicotine to the brain via the lungs faster than the dose of heroin which an addict injects into his arm. 20 puffs on a cigarette, 20 doses of the drug. Nicotine, so quick-acting that nicotine levels in the bloodstream fall to about half within 30 minutes of you putting out a cigarette, and they fall again to only 25% after an hour. Which explains why most smokers average about 20 a day. Because as soon as you extinguish a cigarette, the nicotine starts to leave your body, and you begin to suffer withdrawal pangs.
God, you make it sound as if we're all drug addicts or something.
Exactly. That's precisely what a smoker is, a drug addict. And the first step towards giving up is to accept that fact. You're addicted to nicotine. It's as simple as that.
So that's why I felt so awful when I tried to give up.
Oh, no. Not at all. That kind of feeling is an illusion. It's to do with the second reason why people smoke, the brainwashing. I'll get onto that in a minute. The fact is that the withdrawal pangs from nicotine are extremely mild and subtle. There's no physical pain at all. There's just an empty, restless feeling, the feeling of something missing. But the plain fact is, most people probably wouldn't even notice the symptoms, particularly if they weren't so conscious that they were trying to give up smoking at the time. It's really a very subtle feeling. You see, our bodies are complete before we start the nicotine chain. Then we put nicotine into the body. And when we put the cigarette out and the nicotine starts to leave, we suffer withdrawal pangs. We're not even consciously aware of it. We don't need to be. All we know is that we want another cigarette. And when we light it, the craving goes. And for the most part, we're content and confident again, just like we were before we became addicted. The trouble is, the satisfaction is only temporary. Because as soon as you put a cigarette out, the craving starts again. And so the chain goes on, and on, and on, and on. For life. Unless you break it. In fact, the whole business of smoking is like wearing tight shoes just to get the pleasure you feel when you take them off.
Well, I suppose you're right. Rationally, I mean. But it just doesn't feel like that.
No, I agree. But there are two reasons for that. Firstly, the withdrawal pangs aren't horrible physical pains we can easily identify. It's just a vague feeling. Second, there's the point about all drugs. They work in reverse, which is why they're hard to kick. You don't blame the cigarette, because it's when you're not smoking you suffer the feeling. When you light up, you get the relief. So you're fooled into thinking that the cigarette itself is some sort of pleasure or prop, when all it's doing is filling the void it's created itself. And as with other drugs, the body tends to become immune to the effects of nicotine after a while, which is why our intake of cigarettes tends to increase over a lifetime. In fact, after quite a short period of smoking, the cigarette ceases to relieve the withdrawal pangs it creates completely, so that although when you light up you feel better than you did a moment before, you're still actually more nervous and less relaxed than you would be as a non-smoker, even while you're smoking the thing.
I'm finding this pretty worrying, to tell you the truth. I mean, you're saying I'm a drug addict, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But that means that it's going to be even more difficult to stop than I thought, doesn't it?
No, quite the reverse. The fact that you're addicted to nicotine is actually good news for two reasons. First, the reason most of us carry on smoking is because although we know the disadvantages outweigh the advantages, we still believe there's something in the cigarette that we actually enjoy, or that it's some sort of prop. We feel that after we stop smoking, there'll be a void. Certain situations in our life will never be quite the same again. Now, what I'm saying is that that is a complete illusion. The fact is, the cigarette gives us nothing. It only takes something away and then partially restores it. Once you realize that, you've gone a long way towards breaking down the brainwashing, the psychological barriers to giving up. And it's those barriers that are actually the main difficulty. Because although nicotine is the world's most powerful drug in terms of the speed at which you become hooked, you're never really hooked badly. No one is. Because it's so quick-acting, 99% of the nicotine leaves your body within 3 weeks, and the actual withdrawal pangs are so mild that most smokers have lived and died without ever realizing that they suffer them. It is fast, but it's not powerful.
But that doesn't make sense. I know people who have given up. I know lots more who've tried and failed. They've gone through hell, most of them, months of torture, and still pining for the odd cigarette years later. Now what's that if it isn't withdrawal?
Brainwashing, pure and simple. The second reason why we smoke. I said I'd come back to it.
Come on.
No, really. The chemical addiction's easy to cope with. I'll prove it to you. How many hours a night do you sleep?
About 8, I suppose, normally.
Need to get up in the middle of the night for a cigarette? Withdrawal pangs wake you up?
Well, no, but...
Suppose you had to go 8 hours during the day without a cigarette.
Oh, I'd be tearing my hair out.
Exactly. The real problem is inside your mind. It's not the chemical addiction itself. Remove the brainwashing, and anyone can cope with nicotine withdrawal standing on their head.
Okay. First I'm a drug addict, now I'm brainwashed. Where is all this leading?
What I'm saying is, we all have certain subconscious ideas about smoking. Ideas that are very deeply embedded. Tobacco relaxes you. Tobacco is what you turn to in times of stress. Cigarettes are also macho, the mark of a real man. For women, it's a way of looking sophisticated. They're a social asset. They're a romantic prop. They define adult. That's what all the old movies tell us. You know, the last request of the dying man and all that. That's what all the vast posters all over the country tell us. You'll be better off with a fag. That's the message we get from tobacco sponsorship of our favourite sporting events. One vast hype. Cigarettes are okay. Cigarettes are good. But that is only part of it. Tell me, Mike, why did you start smoking in the first place?
I don't know. Curiosity. Everyone else seemed to be doing it.
Right. Everyone else does it. So there must be something there. Something you're missing out on if you're not smoking yourself. Millions of people, including several of your mates, can't be wrong. Why deprive yourself of these wonderful things, these cigarettes? What rubbish.
Yes, I see what you mean.
It's astonishing when you think about it. Tobacco is the number one killer in the Western world. It ruins hundreds of thousands of lives. Cigarettes are expensive, unpleasant, and deadly.
Okay, just say, now, that I'm convinced. What can I do about it?
The first step is to be aware of the situation. Think. Build yourself some sales resistance to all the hype. Start looking behind all the glossy packets at the filth and poison underneath. Don't be fooled by the cut glass ashtrays or the gold lighters or the millions of others who've been conned. Start asking yourself, why am I doing this? Do I really need to do it? And the answer's simple. No, of course I don't. What this tape is about, more than anything else, is removing the brainwashing eliminating the hype. It's not the non-smoker who's being deprived. It's the poor deluded smoker who's missing out on a lifetime of health, energy, wealth, peace of mind, confidence, courage, self-respect, happiness. And what does he gain from these huge sacrifices? Absolutely nothing. Just the illusion of trying to get back to that so-called state of tranquility and confidence, an illusory state of mind, one that the non-smoker enjoys all the time.
Yes, okay, that all sounds fine in theory, but I can't help it. I do still find that a cigarette gives me something extra in certain situations. I mean, from my own experience, nothing to do with brainwashing or anything.
What sort of situation?
Well, when I'm under stress, for instance. I do a lot of work on the telephone, talking to customers, dealing with problems, and you're always a bit nervy, you know. I just find a cigarette helps, that's all. Makes me more relaxed.
Certainly.
But hang on, you were just saying...
The point is, more relaxed than what? Look, what's actually happening in that situation is this. Without being conscious of it, you're already suffering aggravation from the withdrawal pangs after your last cigarette. You've got extra aggravation from the telephone, the potential stress situation. You light up. What happens is that you partially relieve the withdrawal pangs, so you have the illusion that the actual stress is reduced. You do actually feel better than before you lit the cigarette. That bit is no illusion. The real illusion is that your cigarette is reducing the stress caused by the phone call. It's not. The cigarettes destroy your nerves. They don't soothe them.
Well...
Ever run out of cigarettes late at night? Still a couple of hours before you want to go to bed?
Oh, yes, I've been through that.
Panic, right?
Absolutely.
Non-smokers don't get that, do they? Obviously not. That feeling of panic is caused by cigarettes. And it's a little piece of that panic you're trying to relieve every time you light one up.
Okay, okay, but it's not just stress situations. I mean, cigarettes help me to relieve boredom as well.
Wrong. Boredom is a state of mind. When you smoke a cigarette, your mind isn't saying all the time, I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm smoking a cigarette. Jolly interested old me. I'm smoking a cigarette. The only time that happens is when you light up after you've been deprived for a long time, or when you're trying to cut down, or those first four cigarettes after a failed attempt to stop. Come on, admit it. You smoke most of your cigarettes without ever being aware you're doing it. What's really happening is this. When you're addicted to nicotine and you're not smoking, there's something missing. Now, if your mind's occupied, you can go for long periods without that bothering you. Ever been to a really riveting play, a long one, and actually forgotten you haven't had a cigarette for a few hours? When you're bored, on the other hand, there's nothing to take your mind off it, so you feed the craving.
You may have a point there.
The truth of the matter is that cigarettes indirectly tend to increase boredom because they make you feel lethargic. So instead of undertaking some interesting activity, smokers just tend to lounge around, bored, relieving the withdrawal pangs.
Well, there is one thing. Cigarettes do help you concentrate.
Not true. It's just like the stress situation, the telephone you mentioned earlier. When you're trying to concentrate, you automatically want to avoid aggravations and distractions. But the smoker's already suffering aggravation from that subtle little nicotine monster inside him, waiting for his fix. So he relieves that by lighting a cigarette. But again, at best, that only gets him back to the point that the non-smoker starts from. And as time goes by and you get more hooked, the cigarette doesn't relieve the withdrawal pangs completely anymore. So you're less able to concentrate than when you started. So you smoke more heavily and things just go on a downward spiral.
Okay, okay, but the really hard cigarette to give up is the one after a meal. Bliss. Total relaxation.
All right, let's look at that aspect of brainwashing. Point one. Nicotine is actually a chemical stimulant. Take your pulse, then smoke two cigarettes. You'll find a marked increase in your pulse rate. So how can it relax you? Point two, let's look at that meal situation. End of the day, we stop working, sit down, relieve our hunger and thirst. We're then completely relaxed and satisfied as the digestive juices in our body get to work. At least, everyone but the poor smoker is. He can't relax yet. He's got another hunger to satisfy. Cigarettes only relax you compared to the state you're in when you haven't had one for a while. They only deal with the symptoms they cause themselves. And they even do that with less and less success as time goes by. Cigarettes reduce relaxation. They never increase it.
But what about social situations? I don't think I could get through a party without a cigarette.
Ah, you're talking about what I call combination cigarettes.
Well, what's that? When you're smoking two at once?
Ever done that? Light up a cigarette when you've already got one in your mouth.
Well, not in my mouth. In the ashtray. I've done that.
That demonstrates what I've been talking about. Eventually, your body gets so hardened to nicotine that a cigarette ceases to relieve the withdrawal pangs. Even while you're smoking it, you still feel there's something missing.
It'll leave an awful gap in my life if I don't smoke.
So there's something wrong with you, is there?
What do you mean?
Some weakness in you personally, which means that unlike the millions of other people in the world who can survive quite happily without cigarettes, you simply have to have them.
Well, no, I don't mean that exactly.
No, you probably never thought of it that way until now. It's just the brainwashing point again. Cigarettes fill some sort of void in one's life. Cigarettes give pleasure. Cigarettes help us cope. It's nonsense. Get it clear. Cigarettes don't fill a void, they create it. So what are you giving up? Let me tell you what. You're giving up absolutely nothing. Once you purge the nicotine from your body and the brainwashing from your mind, you'll neither want cigarettes nor need them.
Yeah, okay, keep talking.
All right, one little analogy. Imagine having a small sore on your hand. I notice it and recommend a marvellous ointment. You apply it and the sore disappears immediately. But a month later, it reappears, larger and more painful. You apply the ointment again. It disappears again. Then it reappears even bigger. The process continues until the sore is the size of your hand and burning with pain. You're now very worried. You try other remedies, but nothing helps except this marvellous ointment. Only then you discover that it's not in fact curing the sore, it's merely taking the sore beneath the surface of the skin. The sore is actually feeding on the ointment. It's the ointment that's causing it to grow. And if you stop using it, the sore will heal permanently in its own good time. Would you carry on using the ointment?
No, of course not.
And it wouldn't take willpower not to use it, would it? And you certainly wouldn't feel miserable about giving it up. You'd be both relieved and delighted that you'd found the cause of the problem. Well, with cigarettes, the equivalent of the sore isn't the dreadful health risks or the fortune you spend on them. Impeccably logical reasons for stopping, though they are. The sore is the withdrawal pangs, the feeling of depression and insecurity, the nerves, the inability to concentrate or relax. The cigarette is causing them, not relieving them. Stop punishing yourself. Give the things up.
This isn't what I expected at all, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought you'd hammer away at me with scare stories. You know, I'm going to die of cancer tomorrow, all that sort of stuff. And try to bribe me to give up by talking about all the money I'm wasting.
Oh, these are certainly very powerful reasons for giving up. But as I said before, everyone's aware of them already. Everyone knows, really, that smoking's a mug's game. What's interesting is why people still carry on even with that knowledge.
Back to the brainwashing again.
Exactly. Take the money argument.
Oh, well, in fact, that doesn't actually bother me that much. I mean, I know how much it costs me a week, and I can just about afford it. You always have to pay for your pleasures, don't you?
Well, maybe. But I find it hard to believe, to be quite honest. I mean, you're going to spend £25,000 or so on cigarettes during your lifetime. £25,000 to ruin your health, destroy your nerves and confidence, suffer a lifetime of slavery. You're saying that doesn't worry you? That's a conservative estimate, based on 20 a day.
Look, I've just told you, I'm not worried about the money side.
And yet you go out of your way to save a few pounds here and there. True?
True.
So why not save yourself £25,000?
The
answer's quite simple. Every other decision you make in your life will be the result of an analytical process of weighing up the pros and cons and arriving at a rational answer. It may be the wrong answer, but at least it'll be the result of rational deduction. But when it comes to the pros and cons of smoking, the rational answer sticks out a mile.
Stop smoking. You're a mug.
So if you carry on, it's nothing to do with logic at all. You're not smoking because of some balanced decision to smoke. You're doing it out of fear, because you think you can't stop. But that's a pretty unacceptable answer to most people. So you have to brainwash yourself with rationalizations, one of which is that the money doesn't matter.
Yes, all right.
Just try and look at it head on for a moment. Smoking is a chain reaction. One cigarette leads to a need for the next one, and so on. And it'll go on for the rest of your life unless you break that chain.
I see what you mean.
Right. Now the health aspect.
Oh, dear. Do I have to listen to this?
It's all right. I won't make it too gruesome. I understand your attitude, though. No smoker can ever really bring himself to look at the health risks head on. Otherwise, the illusion of enjoying the habit would disappear completely.
Yes, all right. I mean, I worry about the health risks. Sometimes, sure I do. But hell, I could step under a bus tomorrow, couldn't I? That's the way I look at it.
I see. Would you deliberately step under a bus?
No, of course not.
Do you bother to look left and right before you cross the road, then?
Yes, of course I do that.
Well, then, you go to a lot of trouble not to step under this mythical bus, even though the odds are thousands to one against it happening. But where there's a 1 in 4 certainty of dying from smoking, you're quite happy to ignore the risk altogether. A bit odd, you must admit.
It might not happen.
It already is. Every time you puff on a cigarette, you're breathing cancer-triggering tars into your lungs. And of course, cancer isn't the whole story. Cigarettes are also a powerful contributory cause of heart disease, arteriosclerosis, emphysema, angina, thrombosis, chronic bronchitis, and asthma. If you knew the next cigarette you smoked was the one that would kill you, would you smoke it?
No.
Okay. That cigarette actually is the one, because it's the one that leads to the next, and that one leads to the next, and so on for the rest of your shortened life. Unless you break the chain. Well, no, not a chain. It's actually more like a fuse. You lit it with the first cigarette you ever smoked, and every time you light another one, the fuse is getting shorter and shorter. Each cigarette is one step nearer the explosion. Of course, you don't know how long the fuse is, but then you don't know how short it is either. All our lives as smokers, we say to ourselves, I'll stop someday. I'll stop tomorrow. I've seen people dying from the results of smoking who've said exactly that for years and years. How do you think they felt once it was too late? You're lucky. You've still got the chance to stop. The worst aspect is that each day we gunge up our arteries and veins with several poisons, of which nicotine is only one.
I thought the term nicotine poisoning was just a colloquialism.
On the contrary, nicotine is a powerful poison. It's used as an insecticide. The nicotine content of just one small cigar, if injected directly into the bloodstream, would actually kill you. Each day, you progressively starve every muscle and organ of your body of oxygen and other nutrients.
Well, I knew it was causing me to be short of breath. Will I really have more energy?
Believe me, I can vouch for it from my own experience. The level of energy available to me rose dramatically once I stopped smoking. You really do feel completely different. And not just physically either. There's also the sense of release from the slavery of tobacco. It doesn't seem to occur to us that half our lives are spent choking ourselves, wishing we didn't smoke, and the other half feeling depressed because we're not allowed to. Look, tell you what, Michael, let's take a break so that you can think about what I've said so far. I'll meet you on side two of this cassette in a few minutes, okay?
Great. It'll give me time to have a good think about what you've said.